The goal of this section of the course is for us to review the early history of monasticism very gently and very briefly. And I say review because I presume that everyone has had some access to these sources previously. I'd like for us to review them from the perspective of the themes of community and solitude, which are very important themes for us today. The question of spirituality that focuses on interiority, on the experience of the inner struggle and of inner transformation, the experience of seeking God in solitude, apart from the world, and even apart from significant relationships on the one hand, and the experience of finding Christ in community, the unquestionable central Christian value of finding Christ in the other who bears the image of God and who is also the opportunity for us to serve God and, from the spiritual perspective, the opportunity to behold God, to see God. Still later on, we'll also reflect on how this question of community and solitude touches more specifically on the question of liturgy, on the question of prayer that is primarily solitary and liturgical prayer, which is carried out in community. But before we do that, I'd like for us to review, so that we have as a common background, some material connected with the early years of the monastic movement. We'll consider here very briefly some of the earliest origins, if you will, the prehistory of Christian monasticism. Then we'll move to the story or the early years of the Christian communities in Nitria, Kelea, and Sketis in northern Egypt. Then we'll consider two segments from Athanasius' Life of Antony. We'll then briefly look at some desert father and mother sayings concerning the early years of desert monasticism and on the themes of community and solitude. And then we'll conclude with a glance at texts from both Basil the Great and from the Rule of Benedict as a way of focusing our thoughts. In this first section, what I wanted to remind us of, you know, is that although we will focus in our early look at the communities of northern Egypt, the reality is that Christian monasticism, that is to say, life in community and even in celibate, consecrated community, did not begin with St. Antony or with St. Pachomius, the respective traditional founders of the eremitical or hermit life on the one hand and of community cenobitic life on the other. In reality, there is an unwritten early history of Christian celibate communities. For example, as I mentioned in the first paragraph of this page, we know that there were communities of widows, consecrated women, and of virgins, unmarried women, in the early church. We find the early church fathers speaking of them, sometimes in passing, occasionally in liturgical recommendations, but they acknowledge the existence of these communities, and they probably existed from sub-apostolic times. There's reference to them even in the Pauline epistles. Unfortunately, we know practically nothing about them. That hasn't stopped some historians in our own day from speculating wildly on what they might have been like and what their history may have been, but the truth is we know relatively little about them except that they did exist. I would refer you to the passage that I've specifically given you from Peter Brown's book, The Body and Society, if you're interested in reading more, and you'll find there references that will suggest other works on the subject. We know communities of consecrated women existed before Antony ever went out into the desert. The obvious sign of this, as we'll see, is the fact that he was able to give his sister into the care of one of these communities that already existed before he began his own ascetical efforts. And so one could say slightly skeptically and cynically that although the men later came to write the early history of monasticism and particularly focused on Antony and Paul of Thebes and Pachomius, the reality is there is a feminine history of early monasticism, probably dating back to the earliest centuries of the Christian church, about which we know very little. The other important remote origin of the tradition, of which we should be aware, comes from the Syrian church. There existed, certainly by the late 3rd century, a tradition of young men and women who were called sons and daughters of the covenant, who committed themselves to celibate life in service of the church, and who often lived in community, and particularly at the service of their local parish churches. There are some problematic aspects or dimensions to some parts of this movement. They were associated with enpratism, with an overemphasis on celibacy as contrasted with marriage, and tended to be regarded as somewhat dubious by their later tradition. But this is all by way of saying that there are elements and strands of early Christian community, early Christian consecrated celibate community, that come before the sources to which we will turn shortly. There's a timeline at the very bottom of this page you may wish to look at, which will give you a sense of the relative times of several of the individuals at whom we will be looking now. In particular, note Athanasius, who writes the Life of Antony. There's some debate on this point, but I'm going to presume that the Life of Antony is written by Athanasius and everything that will follow. That Antony is a relative, you could call him a contemporary of Pachomius, although of course he's much older and lives longer than Pachomius, the great founder of Cenobitic or community monasticism, about whom we will not say very much. This is an opportunity for me to remind you that you have the first two chapters of Derwis Chitty's book, The Desert, a City, available to you in the course documents section of this course, and I would as strongly as possible urge you to read that. Those two chapters are the very best and most succinct description of early monasticism that exists anywhere in the English literature. So please read Chitty's first two chapters. I will include some excerpts, but only very small excerpts where they are relevant later in the material that we'll be looking at, particularly concerning the life of Antony. Chitty describes the interrelationship between Antony and Pachomius, and in detail describes the early monastic communities both of Egypt and of Palestine in a very complete and full way. I would also recommend to you the specific sections of the introduction to the RBAD on early monasticism that are given in the course syllabus. And we will turn now in the next lecture to the early monastic communities in the north of Egypt, the communities of Nitria, Kelia, and Sketis.